coming to you direct from the nerve center of the galaxy's greatest comic. This is the 2000 AD Thrillcast.
Borak Thung, Squat Stick Thargo, and welcome to the 2000 AD Thrillcast. I'm your host, Mulchart, and we continue our coverage of San Diego 2018 with the final of our four panels from the show. This one was very interesting. It was an honour and a privilege to be able to sit down with Simon Bisley at San Diego and talk about his career, his work, his attitude to life, and various other things beside. It was a lot of fun. You can hear just what a wonderful loose cannon he is as he chats away. Do make sure you check out our other panels from San Diego, the 2000 AD panel, the Treasury of British Comics panel, and the Judge Dredd Supercop Ars Satire panel. And thank you for all the feedback we've had about the panels from this year's show. Normal service will be resumed as possible in 2 weeks' time. Don't forget that in September we have our next Jumping On issue prog 2100. So if you've been thinking about jumping on board with the galaxy's greatest comic, then that is the issue to go for. We're also celebrating the 400th issue of the magazine next month. So yeah, very, very special times. Big bumper issues. Pick them up if you can in print or digital. But in the meantime, let's crack on with the panel with Simon Bisley at San Diego Comic-Con. Prepare for unfiltered opinion, a little bit of bad language, and, well, a whole lot of fun.
Welcome to the spotlight on Simon Bisley at San Diego Comic-Con. I'm Mike Walsh from 2000 AD, and it is an absolute pleasure and a privilege to not only share a room with this man, but to be able to interview him live on stage. We're going to have some questions at the end, so there should be plenty of time for you to think of what you're going to ask. But I'll just kick off. We'll do it kind of chronologically, but then chat further as things crop up. Tell us a little bit about how you came to be an art.
No, that's easy.
You're self-taught.
Yes.
Which I always think is remarkable, considering
I'm so talented.
Achieved. I know. Tell us a little bit, because you started drawing when you were a kid.
As long as I can remember.
Yeah.
As long as I can remember. But when I did eventually go to art college, I more or less kind of did my own thing. They couldn't really teach me anything, really. Very arrogant, headlong, just doing everything the way I wanted it to and didn't listen to anybody. As far as I was concerned, the reason why they were art teachers because they weren't good enough to get a proper job as an artist. So they were, you know, I had no regard for them at all, not none whatsoever. They despised me.
I just
got them back by just doing really good, amazing work.
Was art something that you was around you when you were a kid? Was your family, were there artists in your family?
My grandfather, Polish grandfather, he was very artistic. My father's artistic, my mother was artistic. My mother and father met each other in art college.
Oh, right.
So there's more or less for the whole. But as far as drawing goes, yeah, that's all I ever did. I just did that, drew all the time. Mostly animals, lions and tigers and monkeys. For some reason, I just really enjoyed doing those. It's not until a lot later on I got involved with comic books. A friend of mine, his name is Paul Bob Sample, brought some comics in, and I was blown away, so I got inspired by that. It's a long, long time after that that I became a professional comic book artist in 1988. So I did go to art college, but I failed failed to get a degree. I got into a degree course, but just didn't go in. Because of RAF, my final revenge, why do I have to? I decided to man up and just go out and get a job. Yeah. I mean, how much, you know, as far as I'm concerned, the only way you're going to teach yourself anything is actually go out there and actually just get a fucking job and start working as an artist.
Well, but you've got to reach a certain point. I mean, you describe yourself as arrogant, but you clearly had a lot of confidence even back then.
Mm.
But you'll have to have got to a certain point by then to feel confident about what you were doing. How you say you constantly grew.
Mm.
How did that evolve? Because you know, you're getting a professional job when you were 18. Was it just literally drawing whatever you wanted, however you wanted, and just keep doing it and doing it and doing it until your style evolved?
Are you talking about comic when I was a professional?
Before you were a professional. I'm talking about the transition from when...
No, the trauma might... No, that's altogether different, actually. It's not until I became a professional then my styles evolved very, very rapidly, because you suddenly accelerate the amount of work you do. We're doing combo pages, and I was doing them in colour. If imagine you're doing it every day, panel after panel after panel, then you just get that much better, that much quicker. So I was stagnant for a while, just going around a normal kind of routine of drawing, sketching, and everything else. So it's not until I got into the comic books that things did change quite dramatically. And because we talked about this last night, again, onto styles. And of course, I learned to paint when I did ABC Warriors. I couldn't paint before that. And I remember I was a story about at Hawkwind. Lemmy said that no one could play the friggin' instruments. The Hawkwind, the band, and he said that the keyboard player was actually looking at the manual as he was actually in the gig. how to work it, an easy step, you know. But so that was right for me. The thing is, the arrogant thing or the headstrong thing is really me just bulldozing my way through life, because I want everything to get out of my way. I just want to do it. I don't want to be distracted. For me, I have to do it my own way.
Where does that come from?
Being retarded, I don't know. In, genetics, interbreeding, something like that. Where does it come from? I don't know. It's just as I just everything I do tend to have put a lot of passion into everything I do, you know, basically.
Well, tell us a little bit how you came to be professional, because it was kind of via somebody passing something on to Pat Mills.
Yeah, a little note, a little letter. What it was, I had a friend who was working for an auto car magazine in London, and he said, "Look, Simon, give me some of your work." And I said, no, I don't want him to see it. No, because they're going to steal everything. I just assumed that everything I do, they're going to steal. So I wrote copyright and everything, thinking that that'd be okay. Don't worry about it, it's just something I got going on there. But, we arranged an interview with 2000 AD, and something interesting happened. I remember I was going to, it's a place, because it's Southwark Street, or I had to walk over a bridge to get there. No, sorry, I got the interview on the way back home. It was very early. On the way back home, I was walking through London, and I had all these people wearing office clothes and all tidy and neat, were walking into work, into London. But I was walking out, away through them on my own, just my long hair and everything. I thought, I'm not going to be like that. I'm just a totally changed person. Do you know what I mean? I'm always going to be that individual who's not going to be doing the mill, you know. My work got criticised quite strongly, and rightly so. It was it was described as, the editors in the interview said, your work's very scratchy, because they would use pen and ink, paintbrushes and ink, so it had a nice kind of look to it. Whereas I'd use these like graphic little 0.0 pens and do little scratchy kind of cross-hatching style. So that was a criticism, but that's the kind of style I continued with anyway. But then suddenly I had this accelerator. I started looking at Gustav Klimt and Egon Schiele. And of course, I was a huge fan of Frazetta and a big fan of Bill Sienkiewicz. You know, at the time, I looked at his Electro Assassin, which is stunning work. And suddenly, everything bloomed. Everything was coming in like a storm, you know. And it was a lot of energy. And of course, it's a great job to do so. I was very happy.
Because your style on the ABC Warriors, Black Hole,
yeah,
was that kind of technical pen, black and white.
Yeah. I'm a very bad comic book artist, so I couldn't really do. I couldn't do it in a traditional way. So I had to find another way of doing it.
Okay.
To suit myself.
Yeah.
Because it's just very. Same thing with when I did Slain. I painted it because I couldn't compete with Glenn Fabry, whose work is utterly beautiful. If you've seen Glenn Fabry's Slain inking, it's just incredible. And I thought, well, I'll paint it instead and just blow them away that way. we are competitive.
Yeah.
You know, we still are.
That is a remarkable thing to do, to go, I can't out-ink Glenfavory, so I'll learn to paint.
Yeah, exactly, Yeah, that's right. Yeah, it was fun. So I developed styles just through that.
Right, and I'll come back onto the back hole in a second, but just to follow up that point with the horn guard, very obvious. Reading it now in collection, that you're clearly learning.
Yeah.
On the page.
Yeah, you can see it. It's there. If anything, it's pretty good for any budding artist to look at, because you see how you can see the styles. They're naked. They're there. Mm. Yes, a lot of work is very, very finished and rendered, but you can see some of the building blocks or the construction of the piece. You can see the layers through where it got a bit sloppier. So it's very honest stuff. But the thing is, I was having to hurry up towards the end. I was having to go quicker and quicker. And it got to the point, like anything, if you're like a racing driver, you know how to get a cleaner line, a sharper line, and get faster and faster and faster. And then I was getting to the point where I was evolving so I could paint even faster and get to what I needed to do quicker. So it was just becoming like a work process and a process of means to an end. And I was losing the joy of it, really, because then the pressure was going on. The pressure was there, so I had to do other work. So it got a bit blocky, and they sent me the artwork back, said, can you kind of finish it off, Simon? You know? put some effort in. So what I did was that they sent it back to me, and I left it for a week and just sent them the exact work back, and they didn't even notice. So if that was fine, it was very bad of me. No, I think I put a few highlights here and there.
Yeah.
But it was good times in 2000, actually. Good times.
Just coming back to the black hole, I mean, I find that fascinating because the artist Smuz SMS was doing episodes alongside you, so you were switching between the two.
Yeah.
And that is a hell of a contrast, even though you're both using pen and ink.
Yeah.
The styles could not be more different. His was very sci-fi. Yours was much more kind of metal bodybuilders almost.
Well, yeah, his work was lent itself much better to Pat Mills' script. It was true to the story, true to the idea behind it, the clunky big robots, all very mechanical. But again, I just didn't want to do that. I just thought, well, let's do something more biomechanical.
Mm.
And I really always wanted to draw like Conan. I like the barbarian stuff, you know? So I just found a way to just make it more interesting for me. For me, it wouldn't work any other way. They had to be more biomechanical, synthetic kind of... Semi-robot, you know, I don't really call them. Almost android-like.
Because I find it interesting that with the stuff you did on Black Hole, with that pen and ink style and the painted stuff, now the style that you have, and we'll talk more on this later, is a kind of a merging of the two. Because you're using lines, you're using a kind of a traditional pen and ink style, but you're layering it with... paint in a way that's very evocative of what you were doing on the horn guard.
Mm. That's right. So you know, I just drifted then.
Did you?
Can you repeat that? So I'm sorry, I just literally just drifted. That was nothing to do with you, I was just thinking about something. Sorry, I apologise. Oh,
no,
ask again,
fine.
Go on.
Your stuff on Hellblazer, for example,
yeah,
merges those two styles.
Yeah.
Between the traditional kind of pen and ink and the painting stuff.
Yeah.
Is that that you have those two extremes and you've kind of settled into an equilibrium between the two of them?
No. I think what the... Hellblazer very consciously did it the way... I did it very consciously the way I did it. I wanted to like photographic quality to it. So I didn't ink it. It was all pencil rendered. And a more realistic kind of look to it. And so when it's a black and white print, it looked kind of more like a newspaper print on photographs, so, you know. It had to be more realistic, so it's completely different altogether from the ABC Warriors. So ABC Warriors is way more fantastical. Whereas the only way that Hellblazer was going to work is that it had to be in a realistic setting. So the strange thing that happened, seemed that much more strange. Which they did seem, you know. It was a pain in the ass to do that. I tell you, fucking hell, man, that's a job and a half. Because once you start that, the thing is, when you stylize your artwork and everything's twisted and contorted, it's a very rapid process to get that look. It's easy to do, but when you're actually doing correct anatomy, and you know, start to look at proper perspective, then you have to work at that, which I hate to do. I hate having to work at anything hard, but it's some of the best work I did. I think from very satisfied with what I did with that.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it.
You've already mentioned some of your influences, Frazetta and Gustav Klimt. there are, I'm sure, throughout history, tens if not hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people who've looked at work of people like that and gone, oh, I'd quite like to draw like that, and they can't. Yet, you looked at that work and managed to not only take elements from that and merge it into your own style. Was it a case of hit and miss? Was it a case of just applying yourself in the moment?
Applying, it's all about applying. What you do is you consume, you absorb everything in life. It's like, not necessarily art, it could be anything, just things in general. As an, anyone who's an artist, even a writer, you just, everything comes, it's like, if you have, it's like a shield. The conscious part of your mind is not, it's not going to write anything for you. That's all the doubts. That's the doubts. So you open that front part of your lobe up and let all that just come out. It's like a dream. Mm-hmm. Just let it flow. It's learning to disconnect yourself from the conscious part of your brain. All the information is there already in all the thousands of drawers in your head. Everything you've seen, and so with Frazetta, all the other arts I like, you take something from that. But it's not necessarily the style as much as you're inspired by their just their creativity and their brilliance. So that inspires me and drives me. But if you were in that attic all your life and all you saw was the inside of an attic, that's all you would draw, isn't it? You know? But the thing is also Matt, the thing is, sorry, I'm jumping in. You were on a roll now. I find it hard to like sit down and talk at the same time. Complicated thing to do, isn't it? There is something I was going to say. Yeah, the styles evolve themselves, actually. The medium's working for, I mean, like, for example, you've got an instrument. You can't formulate a tune as such. You just have to strum it, make mistakes, and fall over a lot in life until something eventually comes about that you can think, that's good, I like that. So you take little pieces until it becomes a whole. You know what I mean? Do you understand by that? So when a paint's moving, shifting around, it's creating the shapes and textures you can use. So I'm just like a vessel. You know, the paint is a thing that becomes alive because of my appliance or manipulate of it, and then it does the rest. You see what I mean? It appears. So it's a lot of it is just pure luck on my part, my skill, I think. Just luck.
I mean, it seems very much like an intuitive process.
Yeah. With anything, you can be good at anything. You have to be intuitive, just really flow with it, go with it. Otherwise, you become stiff. This is not going to work, is it? How can it?
It was interesting. I interviewed Jock a few years ago, and one of the things he talks about is that if he thinks about something too much, he overthinks it and he ruins it. So
of course,
he has to kind of trust. Like, he makes the first mark on the page, and he has to trust that that will then blossom into what he wants to do.
100%, absolutely. Yeah. I can show you hundreds of. If I get a sketchbook, it's just full of nothing except a line. And here, it's just a means of just getting the thought process through. So yeah, it's absolutely right. Yeah, if you start again, it's at that front part of your head. You start really doubting what you're doing. And if you're writing something, you stop there because you doubt that word. Or they think, oh, well, just forget it. Just keep going. It will come. It will just come.
Okay.
You don't agree?
No, believe me. I think the writer's a sub editor, so that's basically what that job is. In terms of what effect working on ABC Warriors and Horn God had on you as a person, I mean, that was it was like a completely new way of doing comics at the time, because fortunately it coincided with 2080 changing the way it was printed, so they were able to do fully painted stuff.
Yeah.
What was the effect on you of all this attention?
I really don't remember it, to be honest with you. I didn't recognise it was there was that. I was getting the attention, to be honest. It had no effect on me whatsoever that I could recollect. No, not really. No.
Okay.
It's nice for people to compliment you on what you've done.
Yeah.
They like it. That's great.
So I imagine
anyone would, wouldn't they?
The call from America came quite.
Oh, that was exciting. Of course. So yeah, of course. Yeah. I mean, if you're getting to work with these people and these companies, it's a dream job, isn't it? So I was very lucky again. Lucky. It was good. It was good. I think it was good timing for me. Just good timing. It had to be. All everything was aligned. Just you know, for me, for it to work for me.
Yeah.
So like I said, a lot. You know, some of it is luck. It's part talent, part luck.
And in terms of how everything panned out, were you happy? Are you happy with that phase? Is it something that you look back on with fondness, or is it something that, I don't know, you'd do differently?
Oh God, I'd do the whole thing differently. I think probably. I wouldn't be a comic book artist for a start. I would have fucking canned that. And I don't know. I'm not going to go back on things so much. I don't think.
Mm.
Again, so I don't consider that at all, not the least bit. All I do is I just usually look at the work and think, oh, I was so young then. I usually think it might look at my work in terms of what I was doing in my life as opposed to the work itself.
Right.
So, oh yeah, I remember I was married there, or this happened there. You know? Oh, I remember when I had that Harley Davidson, that beautiful chopper, when I did that piece, mm-hmm. You know. But it's taken me, and it gives me a great opportunity to coming to America. I've come to America, make great friends in America. Really appreciate that. Some of my best friends are this neck of the woods. So I'm very fortunate in that. That has affected me profoundly, obviously. You know.
Okay. I briefly want to talk about...
Okay, because my dad's in here, whatever.
No, I'm just
kidding you.
I want to talk briefly about Judgment on Gotham. The Batman Judge Dredd crossover story.
Yes.
It's probably one of the most popular Dredd stories we've ever done as a publication.
Mm.
Can you remember how you came to be working on that?
Again, just there at the right time. Right, just with the right time, that's all. Everything was aligned for me. Let me think. I've got to think back on this. You would might think, well, there must be something more to it than that. Well, really isn't. It's just life. Life goes through, ticks along, and it's just a simple phone call. That's all it takes. Hey, son, you want to do da da da? I said, yeah, cool. That's amazing. You're a great idea. That's all it is. Nothing else. No fanfare. Just a phone call.
Mm.
And I had to want to, you know, pay me. You know, checks in a post. Yeah, I heard that one. Yeah, sure. Yes, very unremarkable. Indeed.
In terms of that project, I mean, what...
I wish I could make it sound better, but it really isn't that interesting.
No, it's great. I mean, in terms of Judgment on Gotham, again, that was another slight stage in the evolution of what you were doing. You know, you chose a very deliberate start.
Yeah.
You know, what can you tell us about how the project evolved over time? Was it another one that you were getting towards the end and feeling it was getting a bit mechanical?
Well, look at the last pages. There is what I decided to do, because I would get the deadline would creep up very rapidly. I decided at the end, what I'd do is like some of the last pages first. You know, work backwards. So there's more shit in the middle than spread the crap around a bit, you know, like, you know, it's a bit like you can't eat, or you don't want to eat all your meal when you're a kid, so you just spread it around thinking it's like, you know. There were times when you do take shortcuts, so you do develop different styles, different techniques. For example, I would just do like a blue wash over the pencils and then pick out the highlights because it's cool, isn't it? So there's ways and means of getting around things, but they always look kind of beautiful. I mean, it is just a big lie, isn't it? I mean, it's just all a... if you're going to be the purest form of art, would be barely... It wouldn't use any paint. It'd just be a few lines of strokes. Anything that tells a story could tell the story. So we're just being glamorous, showing off, really. That's what I'm doing. But if you want to tell the same story, yeah, it would be just a simple matchstick pictures would be fair enough, wouldn't they? You can make gestures with the simplest lines. So it's all bullshit, isn't it? Really? It's just an entertainment, isn't it? She's nothing but entertained, but of course it is. Yeah.
But I'm just
thinking. What?
It's getting that other people don't have.
Yeah.
And that's good, you know.
Oh, that is a skill in itself, though, isn't it? Yeah. Using the absolute minimal lines and minimal visual design, and just to achieve the story you want. And why even draw it at all?
What I find interesting about Judgment on Gotham is your storytelling. I mean, the very thing we're talking about, your storytelling had clearly improved.
Thank you. What was wrong with it before?
Well, no, I, you said
no, you're absolutely no, you're I had no. Well, actually, to lead on that, I had no interest in telling the story whatsoever. It was all about showing off and big dramatic images, and that's all I wanted to do. That's all I was concerned about. But later on, I did improve. Yeah, because maybe the thought makes you make a bit of an effort now. But with Hellblazer, if you've ever seen it, yeah, I want to make that work. Mm. You know, wasn't trying to say, well, I can do it, but it was good. It was good.
How did you feel about the reaction to your artwork? Because it's one of those kind of cliches about the time is that the Horn God helped lead to this explosion in painted artwork, and there were you know a million imitators of your style. What was your feeling at the time? All of a sudden, painted artwork had come back into vogue after years in the wilderness. Kind of.
Oh, it's glory. I think I put the grit in it. I think I did the veins and the grit and the rust and the that kind of visceral aspect, I guess, I brought to it. Mm. And everything followed, didn't it? And it was all downhill from there, really. And everybody overtook me, it became really, really good. And some bastard invented Photoshop and this computer generated art. Yeah.
But I find it interesting that we've got artists like Greg Staples, Carl Critchlow, guys like that who were specifically brought onto 2000 AD to ape your style.
Yeah.
And have gone on to develop their own.
Not that far off from what I'm still like. They're not that close. They're still quite close to what I did. My favourite one is actually is Langley. His Slain. If you look at his stuff, it's absolutely stunning. I love it. It's great. Fabric still around. Well, I don't know. I don't think things have moved along much, have they? Since have they? How are things moving? As far as art goes in comic books, is it? It's got a bit more photographic looking, isn't it? More realistic looking.
I mean, there's a whole explosion of styles now.
Yeah. Interesting, isn't it? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah. Well, thank you then. Well, thank you for coming and. It's like running out of like a battery. It's like, hello, Igor, by the way, my friend Igor Goldkind over there. Yeah. Good to see you, sir.
I have a question for you, Simon. You know, a lot of people in the American audience don't recognize how much your work in Slain, the homoerotic subtext to it.
Yeah.
Really, really gained a great following in the community.
Thank you. I know. I get a lot of respect for that, actually. Yeah. Always have done.
And is there going to be a collection of your early stuff that
Hardcore
game
format? Yeah, but we're putting it together.
That's
the one. I told you it's my friend Igor. Yeah, we do a 3D, it's gonna be 3D pop up book. Yeah. With sound effects.
Quick, move along.
Matt, move along, will you?
Talking about that, let's talk about things like Lobo and Heavy Metal Dread, where you're clearly having a lot of fun with
visual
jokes and everything. That seems much more like an expression, dare I say, of your personality.
Oh, God. Really? Is it? I wouldn't be one to know.
Right, okay.
But, at the time I was doing Lobo, I was in the motorbikes. Choppers and long hair, motorcycle gangs, all that kind of stuff. So, you know, and metal music, of course. So, it's going to translate, isn't it? Your lifestyle is going to translate into your work, obviously.
Mm. Which is why I'm ever slightly confused about the project where you illustrated the Bible.
Yep.
How did that come about, and why?
Well, I just wanted to do something that had a great deal of source material. That no one had copyright of, and I thought, well, that's a good one. No, I was always interested in all the great artists' interpretation of the Bible, Michelangelo, Da Vinci, all these guys. And this one, I thought I'd give it a go and go on that journey with them.
Okay.
And so I had to have my take on it.
How did that pan out?
It worked out very well. A very successful book. It's interesting because I've had a lot of letters. I get letters from nuns and churches and other religious schools ask me about the work, and I had loads of children write me letters about the work and the drawings and how it meant to them. And people take this very seriously, obviously. Mm. Stupid to say. And they have classes religious class, and they sit down and look at the work I've done and talk about it. And talk about the pictures, the images, and what they mean.
Yeah.
So it does affect. It has moved people. So that moves me. That's like, you know, you don't believe me, do you? You think I'm taking a piss? No, this is very true. This is very true. No, it's affected a lot of people who are obviously clearly religious, in the sense of, you know, Christians and whatnot. They love it.
I imagine they don't know your other work.
Oh, they'll figure. Oh, yeah, all the satanic stuff.
Quick Google,
there's a Satan on the.
Yeah.
All that stuff as well, yeah. I don't know, you're rather about tits and asses. What? Oh, we're going to have this. There's religion. What is this?
In terms of.
Look at the breasts, oh my god. They're way too big.
In terms of how you've chosen projects.
Yeah.
Has it been a case of you going, oh yeah, I'll just do this? And the project's kind of chosen.
Oh, I'm just lucky to get. I'm just lucky to get anything I can get now.
Yeah.
You know, just begging for work. No, like anything is, you self-publicise. I mean, as soon as something is out there, it's a very small world, very small community, the comic book world. So there's a place for everybody, isn't there? As soon as my work was seen out there, then everyone wanted to get in touch with me.
Has there ever been a time when you've wanted for work?
Although I was short-footed once. I was working for one individual, and then they died or something. And suddenly,
how inconvenient!
Yeah, I thought, damn them. I found myself saying like, oh, as I'm thinking, I've got 10 things going on here. It's not easy to talk about. It's very personal, actually, some of it. Yeah. Yeah, there was a real hiccup, and it was bad, you know. But it's been there. I've been there before, and I thought, oh god, give me some work quick, because you have to work in advance of something. Someone's going to just, you don't have got suddenly, if you've got no work, somebody's not suddenly going to buy it, write a comic book for you there and then, you know. I was wrong footed once. Yeah, very tragic event occurred. But I don't want to be a downer on everything.
You've obviously done straightforward illustration work, you've done band covers, you've worked in stuff on video games as well, I believe.
Yep.
Why do you keep coming back to comics?
I don't know. I think it's like I'm cursed, I guess. It means so much fun, isn't it? I mean, it's there's so much to do, you can do that. I actually want to get more involved in doing singular fantasy paintings. I want to do some landscapes. And I want to paint horses, huge paintings of horses, for some reason. I want to do some landscapes and some proper art, but I better get on with it because I'll be dead soon. I haven't got long, have I? No, I mean, in terms of getting paintings done, I better hurry up. So I'll do an exhibition of like some surreal art, not non-comic related, and some big landscape paintings, like Turner, that kind of guy.
Is this the art school student who never got the chance to go to art school, trying to come out. Now that you've done all the comic stuff.
You've been trying to come out. I think that, I think I want to do stuff that I would have done if I hadn't become a comic book artist. I want to catch up with all the stuff I haven't done that I want to do. There's a lot going on there that is still stored up. I need to release. I need to say it's where comic books go. So I need to move on a bit from it.
Okay. And in terms of how you go about your business, how you go about drawing, painting, doing whatever, is this something that happens in fits and starts? Is it something that you just kind of knuckle down and do, or do you have to wait for inspiration to strike?
Usually inspiration. But at times I need literally to take a leap and a bound and jump onto the... Well, look, it's hard to sit down, isn't it? Sit down and draw, because I'm a fairly physical person, I'm quite active, and it's hard to sit down, get yourself sat down. Once you do, you settle in, you're fine. Just get me to sit down. So I need to be like catapulted or so. The way I do is I run and leap and boom, I'm on. I'm in. I can take a... What I do, I let the coil squeeze. If I got a week to do something, I'll do it in 3 days, because then the energy's up and the pressure's on, and I had to fight my way out. We'll find my way through it. Some of the best work I've done has gone through more instinctive and more being backed up and just finding a way out that corner to meet the deadline.
Well, I was just about to say, there's always that looming deadline sort of bearing down.
It's like a giant person in space, isn't it? Like one of those gods or something. The deadline.
The god of deadlines.
The deadline, just there, isn't he?
Lots of clocks.
Yeah, tick tock, yeah, ding, 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 yeah. That's a comic, isn't it? See, that's what we draw comics, because you can have these ideas and just like, whoom, bang them out.
Yeah.
And, the dreaded deadline.
You said a minute ago that...
That strange thing, like life is just that strange thing between birth and on the way to the grave, isn't it? Quentin Crisp. A strange thing between life, the strange journey to the grave and life. Yeah. Anyway, go on.
I forgot what I was going to ask now. You bought the quote from...
So doom and gloom.
No, not at all. You said a moment ago that you've said everything you need to say in comics.
Yeah, until something else comes around, I guess. Right. Then again, I've not done my own character. I mean, maybe there's some characters I want to do that I haven't done. And I haven't told a comic the way I would do it without any... With actually no rules... on the guard down. I could do something interesting, I think. Now, I've got some ideas, actually, how to do a comic book in a completely different way altogether, which would be, blow your mind, man. It's pretty amazing. I've got great ideas. And I'll do that, maybe.
Okay.
Yeah, I'll show you something else.
Because I've come back to the question I asked earlier about, jobs choosing you, because looking at your bibliography, there's a lot of variety. There's a lot of different things that you've done.
Mm.
Aside from something like The Horned God or your run at Hellblazer, you haven't necessarily got like big projects that have dominated a long period of time, because you've moved on to the next thing, and it's been DC Marvel 2018. You've done an illustration project, things like that. Is it that you're always looking for a challenge? You're always looking for the next thing to excite you enough to sit down and actually crack on with it?
More always. Just you do it for the money. You need the money, so it's a job. It's like sometimes just a job. Yeah. So we have to work. But majority of the work projects I do, I really enjoy. So, it's not going to be a problem. But I guess it's like an actor who does, just plays horror characters or plays it heavy. Or plays romantic, they get stereotyped, I guess. And like Boris Karloff said, the monster looked after him very well. It kept him at work, all the horror films. So, people choose me they were looking for something in particular, I guess. A bit of oomph in their character.
Yeah. Are there elements in a story or a character that will always appeal to you? Because, talking about Hellblazer, you mentioned the kind of contrast, making the contrast between the ordinary and the extraordinary, yeah, and sort of hyping that.
Yeah.
Excuse me. Are there any elements and characters or comics that will always grab you, that will you go, oh yeah, I'd love to do that?
Yeah, like Doctor Doom. I like Doctor Doom and Submariner and Mobius Living Vampire. I just realised they're like these kind of like characters, what do you call them? There's a word for these characters. Anti-hero types, yeah, they're kind of anti-hero. I've realised that they're the ones I like. Actually, I'd like to do Norma, Prince Norma. Submariner, that'd be great, wouldn't it? I'd like to do that old Daredevil.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's time to get inside now, see? That'd be really great. Dr. Doom, he's crazy, isn't he? He's a crazy motherfucker. Crazy motherfucker. You just sit there with his arms folded, all pissed off, he's deep, all angry, and he has a fight with Submariner. Throw each other around a bit, they're all friends again. God, get out of my head, nah, let's have a fight first. All right. We're trying to think about how people, how Stanley came up with an idea, like still Silver Surfer. Right, I got this idea, man. It's a guy, he's all chrome. And he goes around in space on a board. Right, I'll need that tomorrow. Go draw that. So how are these these ideas? And there's a big guy called Galactus, and he's da 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 da. Some guy's got to draw that.
Yeah. Something like you.
Silver Surfer would be a very, very good job. I'd enjoy doing that, I think. That'd be great, wouldn't it? Hello, Ryan. Well, you like Silver Surfer? You think I should do that?
Yes.
Oh, you're clapping at that? Okay. Well, you got it then. Anyone out there can write me, yeah, I'll do it. I'm reliable.
Talking of which, let's talk about Joe Pineapples.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Something I'm working currently with 2000 AD. I'm reviving my version of Joe Pineapples and Road Jaws from 2000 AD, but it did, how many years ago? 1988.
Yeah.
Oh, and I told Pat we should do it again, and so the years have gone by. Some of my teeth have fallen out, I've got greyer, more stooped. And so it's like, seems like yesterday, I talked to Pat Mills about the writer of ABC War, I said, we do it, we have to do it again. So we are, I'm dragging my heels a bit, I'm ready to get a move on. You know? I've done the first issue, but they need some more painters, so I better crack on with it. That was a great day. Joe Pineapples, I've always enjoyed him. Good fun. I wrote George's little sidekick robot. It's also kind of a comedy aspect. So I'm kind of looking for another, I'm looking at the styles at the minute, see how things are going with that. So that will evolve as it goes along.
Have you got anything else in the pipeline?
I work in Brooklyn Gladiator with, thank you. Brooklyn Gladiator with Dan Fogler, the actor. Had some fun on that. Lots of commissions. That's what I'm doing. I'm doing more than that, I'm sure. I'm sure I am. Oh, yeah, yeah, some of the things I want to announce. Don't know if we can yet or not. Can we?
Yeah.
You want to come up and talk? Let's explain it. Do you mind?
Yeah,
minutes.
Yeah, carry on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You've got to come up and talk about it. Introduce yourself and everything. Yeah. Do you want to sit here next to me?
Want to.
Let you come around. Don't worry about it, don't worry. You're on a panel. Introduce yourself and all that bit and just explain what we're doing.
Sure. Yeah. So
don't tell them how much you're paying me, because
no, I won't mention it. I'm not familiar with these. Do these work? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, go on. Okay. Explain yourself.
My name is Eric Peterson. I'm a long time 2000 AD fan. And just sort of the last few months, I've known Simon a little bit, and so we're starting a...
We met in a bar, didn't we?
We met at a bar, yeah. And so Simon's working on a project.
Not a gay bar. A bar, we're going.
Fully painted 28-page comic with me, and hopefully it leads on to other stuff as well. But basically it's called Space Bastards, and it's in the future. It's about intergalactic postal workers that are all very cutthroat. In the future, nobody can deliver the mail successfully. Like 80% of packages can't make it between planets. And so the Postmaster General comes up with the idea of, like, you know, if I just arm all these mailmen, and whoever delivers the package gets the cash, and the mailmen have any means necessary to steal that package for themselves, then everybody will be so violent and manic and killing each other that nobody else will steal the package.
That's why he chose me, see? Again, it stereotypes me. Because it's going to be so
violent. Right, no, exactly. that was the thing. I was like, who, you know, out of all these, there's so many artists at 2000 AD I love. Who's a good fit for this? I don't know. It's Simon, yeah. So very, very happy to get a chance to work with him. Yeah.
It's going
to
be fun, man.
Yeah, you're super psyched. Thank you. Sorry.
No worries.
Good, good stuff. We'll see you.
So we're down to our last 10 minutes, so I thought I would open the floor up and see. Excellent.
Should I put these on?
What's the guy? Have we got like a mic or?
Mic.
No? Okay, fine. You're just going to have to shout.
Mr. Bisley.
Yes.
Thanks
for all the work, and thanks for coming out today.
Pleasure, man.
Does music inspire you? You said you did a couple band covers, I didn't know. If you worked on bands,
if
you only
worked
on band covers that you
like? Super rare, man. I mean, I'm really surprised I've worked on so few album covers or anything music related. I think I've done them two or three.
Dancing?
Yeah, of course, dancing, yeah. I mean, I do his stuff regularly, yeah. Which I enjoy, but I'm surprised. No, not really. I don't do many.
I heard that you used Lemmy as the template for Lobo.
No, I think he based himself on my Lobo version. I think. Bless him, hey, bless them anyway. Music, obviously, I mean, I think like all of us, music does inspire us, or at least it puts us in a mood, or a kind of a happy place, I suppose. But as far as music goes, I actually watch more movies than anything. Next time I draw into the studio, it's all kind of little, like a little nest. I've got all my stuff, a table here with all my paints all piled up, da da da. My desk is here, and then right there is a big, huge TV screen. And that's why I watched Blade Runner, all the Thing. I'd have time to watch The Thing and the Blade Runner, you know, the little thing. But Carpenter's thing, and all those movies. The other thing, all the Bogart gangster movies. See you later, Ryan. Am I boring you, am I? He's already been chased back there. It's Ryan Brown, a great, great artist. Great artist, Ryan Brown. I'm very comfortable with everything I need. Some beer.
Because you're in a band as well, aren't you?
Yeah, in a band called Doomtradon. I play bass and I sing and write some of the songs. We got an album coming out maybe a couple of months' time. And we played the O2 in Oxford. Ooh, Oxford. And I really enjoy that a lot. I really do. I've never played an instrument before. I just said I want to play bass, and I want to be in a band, and I want to sing. So I picked a bass up 5 years ago, and I don't write music. I don't know what key I'm in. I know nothing about it whatsoever. I don't watch anybody. Had no lessons. I just started to make a noise on it. And I figured, well, my brain's going to work it out. It's going to work it out. So I kept strumming. And eventually, you had little links, little bits, little notes here and there, and they extended those. And then you could, and I found out what would happen then. You kind of link those together, but then you could have longer sections where you know what I mean? So you're building something from nothing. And how fun is that? Because no one's telling me how to do it. I've got to find out myself. So I figured out I'll create a style that is unique to me, which is fucking can't play, basically. That's what people say to me, say, what style do you play? I say, I can't play style. My techniques of not being able to play. I can't sit there and play, some nursery rhyme. I can't do anything. But I've written my own shit. And it sounds really wacky, man. It's super heavy. But the things I get away with, I'm standing there, there's actually an audience of people there, and they're clapping. I go, what, really? So I'm locked with my art. I've got away with that as well. One day I'm going to get rumbled. We want all our money back, Simon.
As you were packing your bag on Wednesday, you bought out that big speaker thing, and you strike me as a man who needs silence to sleep. Yes. Oh, because we've got a gig, and I can't remember the words, so I have to play the song over and over and over again. And I'm just seeing like the whole of this week's kind of stretching out before me with no sleep whatsoever, because you're playing it in the next room.
No, I'll leave you alone. Now, what it is, I have to listen to music repeat over and again, so I get it. So I don't read music, I have to remember it through memory. But what I do is I literally just do rudimentary, I just do lines on a piece of paper and just put where your fingers go, and that's all I do. I think it's interesting because so many people I know say, oh, you're doing it wrong, should we do this, you should do that. Fuck them. Look, if I've got people jumping and leaping around like in a marsh and they're loving it, that's great. It's just a noise, isn't it? We like noise.
Do we have another question?
Can you play Summer Holiday by Cliff Richard?
No, I can't. No idea. Give me a while, I'll work it out eventually. Just ding, 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 ding. However it goes. Doom version. Doom version of that.
Cliff
what? Cliff Richard?
What? Yeah, sure.
What's your favourite Frazetta painting?
My favourite one is a Spider-Man. You know when the guy's pushing the spike into the spider and the spider's legs are coming out? One of my favorites, and the Undominable, which is incredible. What a great artist, man. You know, I could look at his stuff and I always find something new in his work. He always finds something else, a bit of texture, something interesting. It's remarkable, quite remarkable. But I love all that stuff, you know. But not many paintings though, really, considering his life's work. Mm. He didn't do that much, did he?
Not really.
Not really saw, you know. Fucking loads of my stuff, he'd get it anywhere. It's like that stuff, it's like the whole planet's going to be covered in it in the future, you just can't escape it. Everywhere you look.
Do we have any more questions?
Do we have any questions? Come on, have something.
Yeah, I have a question. It comes out of a conversation with years ago, and one of your influences is Tex Avery. And I want you to tell me how Tex Avery works, like Frank Frazetta has an influence on your caricature.
Tex Avery.
That's what you told me.
Really?
That makes 100% sense to me.
Does it?
Yeah,
Tex Avery.
Like, yeah, they're cartoon characters.
Yeah.
I can't remember. Rami, I was totally not out of my head. What does it look like? Google it. Google. Tex Avery. Don't know.
Never mind.
Right. Ralph Steadman. Ralph Steadman was.
Da Vinci, remember, but not Tex Avery.
Oh, no. You think I would, wouldn't you? Ralph Steadman was, you know, Ralph Steadman, the political artist. Oh, I thought his stuff was very good. And you can see the link with that with Bill Sienkiewicz's work.
Are you going to be doing some political characters?
Yeah, I've got some lots of ideas, actually.
Yeah.
Oh, I have some, I've got some.
It's a shame we don't have any interesting politicians in this country.
They're all too
old.
They're all too old. No, we don't. Oh, God. They're all awful. All over the place. But, no, I was a political one, yeah, but yeah, I thought we'd get down the road, really. Oh, yeah, Tex Avery. What kind of think of him?
Yeah.
It's going up my head completely.
I would want to ask Simon. I saw a thing, a video that where you were talking about Libra Torre, the Rankster Ox, and I was wondering if that was a big influence on you, and also if you keep up with comics and do you read anything?
Tonino Libra Torre, the Italian
artist.
You understand that he did Rank Xerox. Yeah, he was a huge influence, actually. I forgot all about it. But some things are so clearly not, so clearly an influence because you live with it, and you live with it and inside it, and it lives inside you. You just you don't even consider it. It's just part of you, isn't it? But do I read comics? Yeah, I browse. But I still like the old ones, man. Still like the old stuff.
There you go. That's it.
Oh yeah, stupid me. Yeah, you're right. I go. Yeah, of course. it comes flooding back because when as an artist like myself, you can huge parts of your thought process can be completely trashed and diverted somewhere else. There's only so much you can fit in. So it becomes a jumble. So things can be complete block on some things, just like then.
Just to follow up, I think the biggest similarity is that Avery's panels they defy physics and reality. And a lot of your paintings defy physics and reality too.
Right. Interesting.
In fact, they're just expressionists.
I think you're. More from emotion. Yeah, you're right. I think. I'd always think, again, like Matt was talking about, not really considering the storyline as much as trying to say something in each panel differently. But a good point that.
Last couple of minutes. Do we have any more questions for? Simon? Yeah, just over there.
Okay. When you were doing Lobo, how much of it was Giffen's and how much of it was yours?
Gibbon?
Keith Giffen?
Oh, jeez. I mean, I just went completely out left field with it. I completely changed. Well, you see Keith Giffen's Lobo and you see mine. I mean, mine's completely different to his altogether. I mean, you should probably credit it as created by Keith Giffen and totally and reinvented by Simon Bisley. You know, it's totally mine. The whole look was just something I came up with, created on my own. Even sort of some of the storyline, I mean, we just threw in the gorillas and the dog and all that. It wasn't the story. So as long as I kind of had the beginning, the middle, and the end, I've made the rest of it up, just threw it in there. In fact, Alan Grant had to get the book back, so he had to re-dialogue it. It was a great collaboration, actually. It's kind of a weird, freaky thing we did, and I think we're all one in the same group. I think we, without each other, I think it works if we work together as one organ. But no, Keith's Lobo version of Lobo is nothing like mine. But Keith's a nice guy, and I've got a lot of respect for him, he's cool.
I think we are pretty much out of time. A huge round of applause. For that.
Thanks very much to Simon for a great panel. And thank you to everyone listening for sticking with us as we've gone through our panels and coverage from San Diego Comic-Con. Cheers to everybody who dropped by the booth and said hello, who picked up a graphic novel collection, who came to one of the panels, or has just enjoyed listening to them. Be sure to give us your feedback at thrillcast@2080.com. That's all one word, thrillcast@2080.com. And join us on social media on Twitter at 2000AD, Instagram at Insta2000AD, and search for 2000AD on Facebook. We'll be back in 2 weeks' time when normal service will be resumed. And until then, Earthlets everywhere, Splendid Verthrig.
Power levels dangerously high. Alert! Alert! Read 2000 AD every week. Ask your comic book store or newsagent now. Subscribe to the galaxy's greatest comic at 2000adonline.com. Subscribe digitally on our apps for Apple, Android, and Windows 10. And download DRM free copies from 2000adonline.com. Alert! Alert! Stand by for urgent updates. Search for 2000AD on Twitter and Facebook. Watch the latest videos at youtube.com/2000ADonline and follow on Instagram at Insta2000AD. Program complete. Shutting down!